Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey, we're live.
It's happening.
Phil Shouse, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate coming live to you on the Ages of Rock Facebook page.
Cool. I just got a notification saying that we're live, so it's working. Hey. So I'm going to turn it down.
Well, what you need to do is you need to share that and say, do a watch party or something.
I do.
I was on Phil's page waiting to do that, but I got to get on my own page now.
Yeah, but it would just seem, I think it's going to be best from yours. It's going to sound and look better, so.
Cool.
We're here, we're here putting the us in virus.
There you go.
It's better than putting the men in menopause.
Exactly. Menopause. I've had that.
Menopause. Cheers.
Yes. All right. So we are actually all in a quarantine situation. We're all hunkered down. We're doing our social distancing as far as we can, because we're all, at least Alan and I are the closest, and we're only about 12 miles away. So
we're doing social media distancing. We're so good.
He doesn't know math. I'm like 4 miles from him.
It's more than that, isn't it?
Nope.
Well, maybe.
I'm only like 185 miles. So you're probably closer to Phil than you are to me.
Phillip's only about 2 hours from us, so he's in Nashville.
Hey, Phil, check it out.
In Nashville. You guys all.
Hey, nice.
Oh, look at that.
Appropriate shirt tonight.
And it's Tuesday night, too, so perfect.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. That's pretty cool.
I'm wearing my Mesker Amphitheater shirt, which is our old amphitheater our mayor decided it's not worth fixing up, motherfucker. Nice. But anyway,
we had one of those too. It's called Starwood.
I saw Kiss.
It was going to be developed, and it's still just it's a field now. It's overgrown, and
that's
terrible.
The way Mesker is. I took my son to see Kiss.
That's a pretty nice place to see it.
I took my son to see Kiss at Starwood back in 2004.
When
they toured with Poison and ZO2.
Poison. Yep.
Well, and our town was the fact of, we had to tear down Robert Stadium so fast because they wanted to build something else there. And, and Robert Stadium at the time in this book was tied with Madison Square Garden for as many times as Kiss played there.
Wow.
And at that point now, it has been torn down. They have the new Ford Center. Kiss has never been back to our town. And that lot is still a grassy field that they still mow. Mm-hmm.
They have
big
plans, they go away. Yeah, exactly.
So it's Robert's Municipal Yardium.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's Yardium. Right. And the funny thing was, Philip, the first time I ever met you in person was at the Kiss at Gene's Vault in Nashville.
Vault experience, yeah.
And we went down there and I met you that day. You guys came in and played. You were there and Jeremy was there. And then Ryan came in later because he was on the cruise.
Yeah, and then Jeremy and Ryan were on the Kid Rock cruise.
Right. And then E.T. came in and played bass for a couple songs until Ryan and them showed up that day. Yep. But anyway, the funny thing was whenever I met you that day, we're sitting around and but when I went to meet Gene, I said, I'm from Evansville. Well, I didn't know Evansville. And he goes, I said, you used to play Robert Stadium all the time. He goes, you know, that's not a stadium. I'm like, what? Yeah. In typical Gene form, he has to explain to me what a stadium is. It's not a stadium. It's an arena.
And also, I'm surprised he didn't remember Evansville. Like, we've all seen the handwritten lyrics from so many Gene songs from the Holiday Inn in Evansville,
Holiday
Indiana.
Inn.
Yes.
And so, that he didn't write them all there. He took that with him and just wrote all those lyrics from a certain time period. They're all on that pad of paper.
The Holiday Inn, Evansville, Indiana, 41, which is now basically apartments for flop. It's a flop house apartment.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so But I can point them out.
Gene stayed in it and then left it a mess, so they had to turn it into something.
Exactly. You know,
it could have been Graceland, but now it's just a shithole. So,
So we got our got our first viewer comment. Shane Olson says, "Hey Phil."
Who says that?
Shane Olson.
Hey Shane, how are you? Hope you're doing as well as one can during these times.
Yeah, I got a comment from Bill Elam. He says, "Hey Joe." Oh, he must be. And then Joe Polo, look at all those good-looking dudes. And Alan. Oh.
Look at all the people here tonight.
Joe's been held up way too long. Joe has been held up way too long. Whenever he says we're good.
Well, now in Joe's defense, he did have to put up with me for a week on the Kiss cruise.
Oh, gee, were you guys cabin mates?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, cool.
No, but we did hang out two or three times.
Yeah.
That's fine. For Alan, anybody,
was that your first cruise, Alan? Kiss cruise?
That was actually my first music cruise and the first cruise that I ever took without my wife.
Okay, and your first Kiss cruise.
Yes.
And first music cruise. Yeah. Wow, cool. Okay, good.
I want to go on the rock cruise.
The Monsters cruise.
Yeah, I want to go on
that. That's a hell of a lineup. The one coming up in February, Alice is on it.
My God, it just keeps going. It's scroll and scroll. I got a cramp. It's like scram.
Yeah, that's a heavy lineup, man. That's a good one next year.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay, what are you up to, man? Alan, what's going on?
My day to day honestly hasn't changed that much. I'm pretty much like in my apartment learning songs anyway. It's just the forced. You know, the forcedness of it. It's just like, no, you can't leave and you can't get everything you need at the grocery store. And just, that's kind of weird. I've had no official cancellations really for my spring and summer, but it's all international. So I don't really feel that positive about it happening. Scheduled is in late April doing Japan with Accept, and then back here doing three shows at the East Coast with Accept, and then late May through July doing European festivals with Accept. So, you know, although we've had nothing officially canceled, I do have to say I'm not that optimistic. So,
they are coming to the East Coast?
Scheduled. Okay. I know M3 is on there. Place in Long Island and place on Long Island, and then Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. So we do have those three shows scheduled. Again, you know, we'll see. Who knows?
Cool.
Who the heck knows?
Yeah. I watched a live thing with Christopher Williams the other night. He went live and him and three other guys were in a studio. I can't remember where they were, but it was cool. They were like just text us a request and they were just playing all kinds of stuff. I watched it for about 45 minutes. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, a lot of folks, they're doing that. Richie Faulkner from Judas Priest is going live on Instagram every couple of days and just kind of playing classic rock songs and answering questions. And, you know, I think it's just, I don't think it's anybody's doing self-promotion. I think it's just like us trying to stay sane and like, hey, through this, you know, technology, we can all hang out together like we're doing now. So we can all, you know, don't have to be completely alone. I know that's a heavy thing for a lot of folks, but, you know, it isn't as bad as it could be, you know.
Well, I've tried to get friends to do some social distance drinking, so we did that over the weekend a little bit. So that's worked out pretty well.
I think I'm hanging out with Izzy Presley later on doing just that.
That sounds like fun.
Later on tonight.
It's been
a few days where you did your margarita day, had a little thing on your nose, and you're out there in the sun.
Yeah, there's a lot of sun. It was pretty bad. I think I must have got sun poisoning that day because I woke up feeling horrible. I know it wasn't a hangover. Had to be sun poisoning. So, yeah, that was the last one of those. That was fun, though. Made some good margaritas.
Sounds like fun. Exactly. We got a couple of more comments here. Chris Vickery says, "What's up, Phil? Hate that week's Rock and Roll Residency show was canceled." And Shane Olson says, "All good here in Australia. Hope you guys are all doing well in these times." Thank you, Shane.
Very good. Thanks, Shane.
And anybody that's watching, Dennis's camera is having an identity crisis, and his picture keeps coming on and off. So.
Oh, no, he's clearing mine on my end, so yeah.
Yeah, at the moment.
Strange.
Yeah. He's got a virus.
And I have one. I have Philip in mine, and I have no Allen and no Bill. So I don't know what's going on. I told my son to get the hell off the internet. So I'm sure everybody, of course, you know, right now everybody is streaming everything. So the internet is like, I mean, it's just like the interstate highway now. Everybody's like on the interstate going, blah, 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 you know, so,
yeah.
I mean, if you get through, it's just amazing. So anyway, I will try to reboot here in a second.
I've had pretty good luck with my T-Mobile data plan. Or is it data? What's plural? Is it data or data?
Yeah.
I forget. Exactly. I've had pretty good luck with that. So, you know, it's been pretty reliable. So thanks, T-Mobile.
This is where the IT guy comes in here. Data is plural. Datum, D-A-T-U-M, is singular.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Or I got that backwards, and somebody's going to show me I was wrong.
Actually, I see it was just good now. Again, so,
I thought
sorry.
It was just pronounced different. I thought it was data and data. I don't know. That's like my Commodore 64 days. So that's going way back. That's my Oregon Trail days, going way back to Oregon Trail. So
I had the Commodore.
I had the Commodore 64C, which was the compact that was actually the first laptop. The front screen moved down, had a keyboard on it, a 3-inch screen, 5.5-inch drive, and you had this thing called Zork. It was like print, and you had to like follow around, and you had to make maps and shit. I mean, it was like. But I was like thinking, I was like, look at this shit. I'm fucking high tech.
It was incredible.
It was. It was.
I mean, the Apple IIe followed that, I think, right? But yeah, I remember I had all those in school, and we, you know, that was the hottest thing.
That's insane.
We have a listener question or a viewer question.
There you go.
Chris Vickery wants to know how big a kick it was playing with the Goon Squad.
Oh, that was a blast, man. That was a lot of fun. Because Chuck, we know real well, and we kind of threw Chuck and all the other guys in the Alice band. Yeah, that was a hoot, man. That was a lot of fun. We didn't know we were going to do schools out with everybody, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I think Bullet Boys opened the show that night, I think. But that was a lot of fun. That was cool. So thanks
and
to those
Bullet
guys.
Bullet Boys are a loud freaking band.
They are great. Yeah.
And that was the non-reunited Bullet Boys before that, but they opened that show. I only thought I was going to do the Metallica tune. And then at the end, it was everybody get up there. So it was fun.
Let me ask you a question, Phil, real quick. As far as like when you were, I know you went over to, and you played with, except for the Vulcan. Vulcan symphony deal, and you were on the CD and all that, and the DVD and all that bullshit. But anyway, once you got through that, how did it transpire that then you went to playing those shows with Wolf and Christopher and everything, and then you became now a permanent member as of for now. I mean, once you guys start playing again, you're going to be out with Accept playing these
right,
gigs.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, how did that transpire? I mean, how did that go?
So I got a call, and the tour was in the spring of 19 of last year, and we're talking about the Symphonic Terror Accept tour, and it was Accept and an orchestra, full 2-hour show, half Accept songs, half classical pieces, orchestra on the whole thing. And Uwe, their regular guitar player at the time, a rhythm guy, he had a conflict. He couldn't make some rehearsals. And so Wolf was like, no, we're going to do this. We're going to get him in there. And Uwe was having some health stuff too. I think some operations, I think from a wreck or something. And so they called me, and it was funny because the day they called me, my ACE schedule had just opened wide up. Everything wasn't happening. So I was like, yeah, I got the whole spring open. So what do you got? So it was 6 weeks total of shows, 3 weeks some time off, then 3 weeks, some time off, then a couple one-offs. And I really liked working with Wolf, and of course Christopher I've worked with forever. And I was thrilled to do these shows because it was all Europe and Eastern Europe, and it was all these amazing venues, all these actual like classical theater, like classical theaters, like symphony halls and things like that, and some really, really historic venues. Played Circus Krone in Munich, where the Beatles played in 66, and played in Bulgaria, played a Roman amphitheater built in 90 AD. So it was like all these things, like, oh my God, absolutely, I'll do them. And it just went really well. It went well on stage, well, off stage. Everybody got along. I fit in with the crew, with the band. And I think towards the very end of the shows, Wolf had kind of hinted and things like that, but didn't get officially asked until we came home from that tour. And I met Wolf at the Thai place that we would always go to and eat, and then we'd go practice the songs. And that's when he kind of asked me, do you want to be in the band? I was like, I was hoping you were going to ask me to dance. So thanks. Yeah, I'd love to go with you. So yeah, I was stoked.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. Like I said, Wolf's been one of those people. I saw them except open for Kiss. My first Kiss show.
Lick It Up tour. Yeah.
Was the last show with Vinny. Yes. And Kiss actually except opened up. And I remember standing next to a guy going, this band exciting with her? And he came out and went out the next day to the mall, but
not what, Dennis?
He's stuck.
Man, you gotta start over, dude.
I mean,
since you started talking about Kiss and Accept, we didn't hear anything else from the very beginning of that. It's like
Dennis is like Elsa. He's frozen now.
He's out.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So can you hear me now? I'm frozen again?
Sort of. All right. Hey, I do have a question. Well, maybe we can get him to get fixed because Alan's muted.
Bill, before you say anything, I just got to say this to Dennis if he can still hear me. The way we could hear you would be like us hearing Vince Neil sing a song.
Worse.
good analogy. That's damn good. I love
did you
that.
Eat a buffet today? <That's the
other> I'm going to hell for my sense of humor. I know it.
Yeah, we all. So, Phil, I got a question for you from David Cathy, who is a long time Ages of Rock podcast fan. So,
hey, David.
And a long time Rock and Roll Residents fan. So, ask if we could have a possible return of the Rock and Roll Residency at Rockin' Pod 4.
Oh, man. I suppose that if we're all available and Chris and Aaron ask us, we can see what happens. So, right. Yeah, I think as of now, I think we're all home. We'll see what happens. See if Chris and Aaron want to have us back if it wasn't too dangerous last year. And I thought last year was great. I had a blast last year, so that was a good time. Probably my first one of those to go to. The previous 2 years, we were out with Gene both times. So last year was the first one.
It was definitely great. Good having you guys.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's fun, and it's fun too because we're really pretty generous, right? So we just gave you and Phil.
It happens.
You and Ryan and Jeremy the mics and said, here you go. You guys interview yourselves. Have a good time.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no. That was a blast.
That was a blast.
Now, what was really fun.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks, you guys, for doing that.
Yeah.
It was almost as good as the first year we did it.
Well, that was in Indianapolis with Christopher Williams and E.T. Brown.
And E.T.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Get talking. You're never going to get your microphone back.
15-minute conversation about fart machines and all kinds of crazy shit. It was hilarious.
Totally. Oh, man. That was a fun one, too. The KISS, the Indie Expos were way fun. Those are really fun. So we're doing the Cruise Fest Expo again this year. Ace is booked, and the All-Star Band is booked, which is Ace's band. So we're doing that again in Florida right before the cruise. So we're booked on that. Bruce Kulick's doing that. So that'll be a good time too.
Cool.
I'm going to miss that cruise because, assuming that all the cruises are back in business as usual by then, my wife and I are going to be on a Hawaiian Island cruise.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
You've done the Kiss one.
Do what?
You know, you've done the Kiss. You've done the Kiss one. I think you're good.
And I couldn't have picked a better Kiss cruise to go on, because that's when I got to watch Gene totally bone up. He didn't bone up the lyrics to Larger Than Life, but he boned up the cadence. That was pretty funny.
He did. You know what I think he does is he remembers the demo version.
That probably
because
so.
He would always sing when we were doing Got Love for Sale with him. He'd sing the right words most of the right words, but his phrasing was always weird. And so when I got the vault, the demo version is on there, and he sings it just like that version. And think about it, he'd been remixing and digging up all the vault tapes, so he had that fresh in his mind and didn't go listen to the recorded version because he probably recorded it and just didn't listen to it again. I mean, I do that.
That would really make sense.
And so I think he does that because he was pretty good with everything else with us, phrasing wise, except that one. He was definitely different on that one, but it was the same different every night. So it was like he's singing another version. And also on Domino, he sang the demo words on Domino. So
well,
another thing,
you know,
he did,
and it was
funny, the vault.
Because when he did the Unplugged, he sang the demo words to Going Blind. When he talked about the...
Really? I didn't notice that.
The girl from the Land Beneath the Sea, that was in the demo that way.
Yeah. Hey, cool Unplugged fun tidbit. At SIR in Asheville, the studio rehearsal place, Gene's bass from Unplugged is... You can rent that. It's here.
Wow.
At the one in Nashville. Not just a Kramer like it, the one he played on the show. So, cool.
That was a great show.
Yeah, great show and great record. And that was a great moment in history for sure.
For sure. Paul probably at his peak. That was like,
oh, God.
You know,
so good. Yeah. So good.
I still love you. So just gives me chills, man. You listen to that song, it's like, my
incredible.
God.
I was talking about yesterday. I did a live stream from the Gene Simmons Vault Amsterdam page, and we're talking about the first Kiss shows. And my first Kiss show was Revenge, and I remember it was Paul. The Revenge record is he's singing excellent, sky high at his range, but live just destroying it. He was absolutely incredible then, and you know, a little bit younger than me, but he was probably in his early 40s at that point, right? Or late 30s? I'm trying to think how old he
was. No,
he
was probably in his early 40s. That's probably right.
Something like that.
Yeah, but just absolutely, just so good. So good. And they're Unplugged, too. It's just what a good performance.
So your first show was Revenge?
92, November 8th in Huntsville, Alabama, 1992.
Can you guys hear me now?
Revenge.
Unfortunately, yes, Dennis.
But you're frozen on my screen, though.
Yeah, it's kind of frozen still.
Well, Dennis and Bill's...
That's probably
doesn't matter. That's
one of my favorite
phones.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. On the live thing, it looks funky.
I'll just
be quiet. Can you... I don't know what the hell's going on. I probably got... Yeah. Who knows?
Technology is wonderful.
Yeah, so Revenge is probably my... That's one of my favorite tours. I mean, just the show, the... set list, just the group was like tight as they could be.
So tight. They were so tight. It was great. There was no glitter, no, you know, pastels anymore. It was, you know, playing, you know, cool guitars. And I forgot they had played I Want You that night. I looked at the set list from Set List FM website, and the I Want You was on there, and Love Gun was on there, and like so many cool things were on there that, you know, maybe not have made the Alive 3 album. So yeah, that was a good time to see him. It was great.
Revenge was my
it was Trickster, Great White, and Kiss was the lineup that I saw.
That was the second time I saw Kiss. The first time was at Roberts Municipal Stadium in Evansville on the Crazy Nights tour.
You know, that isn't a stadium.
Yes.
Yeah, Crazy Nights, man. Ryan's, I think his first one was Creatures. Jeremy's first one was Creatures, too.
I'm jealous of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan was all bummed. He's like, who's this guy? He didn't know Ace wasn't going to be there. And he was like, is Ace wearing different makeup? And I was like, that's an Ace.
That's not so, Ace. It's not tall enough. And yeah. It's not fat enough. And even when Ace was still skinny.
Like crap.
Well, yeah. Even when Ace was still skinny, he was fatter than Vinny.
Totally. Yeah, Vinny was a rail. Yeah. Way more notes.
My first show was January 23rd, 1978. So mine was a Live 2 tour.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Where were
in
you?
In Evansville, Indiana.
Roberts Municipal Stadium.
Roberts Municipal Stadium.
Damn it, stadium.
Here's the deal. We lived like
it says
two
it
blocks.
Right there, stadium.
Yeah, we lived two blocks from the stadium, and it snowed that day. And I rode my bike in the snow. They canceled school. I rode my bike in the snow to make sure the trailers made it.
Awesome. Stories like that are like make me. I'm so happy that I grew up when I did, and I got to experience some of that kind of concert going. And I think I might have been almost the tail end of it. One of the last generations that can have stories like that about what concerts meant. They smelled different, not just because there was weed everywhere. They just smelled it. And I like to bring this up while I'm talking about it. Why does people smoking pot at an old concert like that smells different than I've ever smelled pot anywhere else in my life? It has this weird in the old arenas. It's had this sweet smell. It was always like, but I've never smelled that since. It's only in those places.
It's funny you say that, because I have people that, like, we go to a show and they're like, it smells like skunk. Do you smell the skunk? And I'm like, I don't remember it smelling that way back in the day.
It didn't, I swear. I mean, I guess it was all just dirt, you know, seeded, you know, compressed, you know.
No, they put shit in it.
Compressed shit. It didn't smell like that back then. It was so different.
All right.
One thing we started talking about yesterday about Kiss shows, and if you could time travel to any Kiss tour, what would you go see? And mine was probably the first Destroyer show, because that's kind of the most mysterious Kiss stage show that they ever had, because things got taken away that didn't work. But I think in the early part of the tour, they ran with everything and tried it. So I would love to see the first Destroyer show, just to see all the stuff they had, you know.
Yeah.
That's mine. What was yours? What's you guys?
I really didn't have one until you said that, and that makes good sense.
Yeah.
If I could go back to a show I didn't see, I'd like to see a show in Cobo Hall. Show. Just because it's, you know, you hear so much about it, you've seen so many pictures, and it's just, they just were so raw, you know, and it just balls out. Let's go. It didn't matter. And they were, it was cool. I mean, it was just, we don't care if you like us or not. We're going to come in there and melt your face. And
and
it didn't matter. And that would be something I would like to go back and see. And I know we've seen videos of it, but to be in there and, you know, I think that's people that don't go to shows, you don't get that feeling. And it didn't matter. Even if you go to a show today, you know, as compared to before, but I mean, in the a long time ago, even going to a show today, I just love to go to shows. I love to go to live shows.
Yeah.
Cause you never know. It's organic and shit happens. I mean,
yeah.
I was at a show a couple weeks ago and shit happened. I mean, it's just,
I really like it. Jesus, who's texting me? I really like it when they have shows in Nashville at the Municipal Auditorium, which is where everybody, you know, in the 60s, the Stones played. Everybody's with us in the 60s. So I love going to shows there because it still looks and feels and smells like, you know, like those old shows do. So.
Well, you know, my favorite video is the Winterland 75 show. So, you know, I wouldn't mind going back and see one of those shows.
That's awesome. And like the talk about Cobo Hall, the Cobo Hall 76 is one of my favorite video concert videos. I think it did they put that out on the Kissology, or was that one of the bonus discs?
I think it was a bonus disc.
Yeah, because I got that one. Man, that thing, that is on. They're on fucking fire. It's just so good. It's like, oh yeah, they couldn't really play. It's like, watch this. That's a band that's just they were a well-oiled machine at that point. They were just on fire. So yeah, I love those. Winterland is great. That's an awesome show.
Hey, Dennis is back.
Dennis is back, buddy. And looking clear too.
We can't hear him though.
Microphone.
No, his mic's not working. He's got, damn it.
And I'm clear. God damn. I tell you what, I got everybody else in the house that actually is using Wi-Fi. I said, stop it. Whatever you got to do.
Get off of there. Yeah.
That's funny. Kelly must not be home yet because he wouldn't tell her to stop it.
No, she's cooking and I'm actually out to get something. Just real quick, going back to what I was saying before, I saw Kiss, like I said, except the first time. Whenever Vinny Vincent's last show, but I saw that show and Wolf blew me away
at Roberts Municipal Stadium. Yeah.
And I went to, not the stadium. It's not a stadium, but anyway, went to the mall the next day and bought a Balls to the Wall and have been an Accept fan since then. I mean, Wolf's playing just always blows me away because Wolf's always been one of those people where, I'm not a great guitar player, and I never claim to be one. But when I do play leads, I'm not one of these, you know, a million mile a minute, Emmy Malmsteen kind of people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, play each note like it means something. And that's one thing that I always liked about Wolf was when he plays stuff, it's very classical. It's very has a classical influence. And when he plays it, I mean, he can play a million notes a minute, but he doesn't have to. Everything's melodic. It's very, and it sounds beautiful. And like I said, I've been a fan of his for many years, and I envy you to be able to play with that man on stage because it's
pressure, man, every night because he's still that fucking good. And he's that good every night, so it's a lot of pressure. I'm like, I've got to play as good, and he has amazing energy. He's in great shape. He's in great health. I'm like, damn it, you're 15 years older than me. You know, it's not a competition, but it's like it's healthy. You're like, okay, I have to now. I got to be that good. Well, I got to stand next to him. You know, and that's when you mentioned the classical thing with this playing. That's why the symphony thing with Accept worked so well. It worked, I think, better than most bands that have done that. It like their music had always had a classical structure to it, with classical. He would go into classical, well-known melodies in his solos, and Metal Heart is da 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 da. His Furry Lee's in there, so all these things lent that so well, and that's why the symphony thing was so great. And we did film a DVD in Bulgaria, and I really hope that comes out because it was just so cool. Because it was seamless. The arranger that he worked with, Melo Mafali, it's a great Italian guy. A great composer, arranger, worked with Wolf, and he got it because he was a big Deep Purple fan. Melo and I would always riff Deep Purple stuff in soundcheck and everything. So he got what needed to be done, and he was just great. They worked together and put together a great, great combination of two music worlds, and it worked great. But yeah, man, it's a big deal playing with him every night. It really is. Don't take it for granted. It's an honor, and I want to be, you know, as good as that guy. And that's my goal, you know, with him. It's like, okay.
Well, a lot of pressure. Just tell him that there is a guy named Dennis in Indiana who is a huge fan. One of these days I'm going to shake his hand because I do like that guy. He's been a great guy. And like I said, and with you too, because I've missed out on some of the conversation, so I'm just going to kind of backtrack just a bit. You've been as far as we've seen you play with Gene Simmons, we've seen you play with Ace Frehley, we've seen you play with, the Rock and Roll Residency. I mean, playing songs that are just fucking unimaginable. But every time I've met you, dude, you've been the nicest and the most gracious person I've ever met. I mean, as far as, I mean, you remember names, you remember people. You know, when I saw you, I went to him and said, "Hey, I'll just talk to Alan. He's going to be, you know." And the thing is, I appreciate that, you know, and people do appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to be. I mean, I am, you know, every bit the same person that before this, you know, the past few years have been pretty amazing in my life. And I know that I'm very grateful for it. And it isn't lost on me at all. But I mean, there's no reason to change once things start happening, you know, cause good things happen to good people for a reason. And good things happen to, you know, if things are happening for you, it isn't a good idea to change a lot, you know, just become better at certain things maybe, but there's no reason to change your personality and all of a sudden become like a, you know, prima donna and, you know, as in before Madonna, pre Madonna, not post Madonna.
And everything was so much better pre Madonna, actually.
we're still like in Madonna times. But yeah, there's no reason for that. I mean, I'm always going to be the same. I'm always going to be a music fan. I'm always going to be excited about what I'm doing, hopefully. There's just no reason to do anything. I'm still the same person. And, you know, I know Ryan and Jeremy feel the same way. And it's like when you come up and say hey to us, you know, I've been kind of wanting my whole life and wanting to be in a position like this where folks ask me to be on shows like you guys and go around and like, hey, man, I saw you in the thing. It's like, hey, you know what? Good. Thanks for coming. I've kind of been wanting this my whole life. So I'm not going to, you know, turn my back on it when it actually kind of does happen on a very small scale. But, you know, my life's pretty cool and I have a good time and meet a lot of nice people, get to talk to people, get to travel around. And I've got no reason to complain whatsoever. Or no reason to be an asshole, you know.
No, and all you guys are like that. I mean, every one of you, yeah. You've been really nice.
Yeah,
you know, we enjoy your.
Yeah, we've said it before on the show. I mean, we've had of all the guests we've had on the show, we've not really ran into. I don't think we've ran into anybody that was, you know, anything but very, you know, nice and yeah. Willing to be on and cool about being on. And you know, that's the thing. It's you always hear about these people that are, you know, that way. And it's, you know, it's kind of weird. It's like, why are you?
Well, now word travels so fast. If you're on one of these shows and you're a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, then everybody knows you're a jerk. You know, there you go. You can't really hide your true colors. You know, it's like these shows are really cool because with you guys, it's us just sitting around talking about music, hanging out like we would anywhere. And if you're a jerk, you're going to be a jerk doing that too. So people are going to know it. Your cover has been blown. So there you go.
Let me interject here. We've got another comment. Chris Vickery says, "Which show did we see together, Alan?" Damn, Chris, I don't know. I've seen Kiss in Evansville in 1987, 1997, 2000, and 2000. I seen Kiss in Louisville in 1996 and 2000, and last year, seen them in Nashville two or three times.
Oh, we saw you guys in Louisville.
You saw me at Louisville.
Yep, saw him.
Yeah.
We were there. We just weren't all together. We were all like in different.
Yep,
place was
that
way
was
a, up.
That was the first
way
one
up.
That we saw. That was the first one that we saw was in Louisville.
Yeah.
So I got a question too. Are you finished, Alan? Oh, you're muted.
Alan's
no.
Alan's
Chris
muted.
Chris replied that it was in Nashville with John H. I know who he's talking about now. So now I think I know who Chris is. Kidding. Kidding. Gosh.
So I got a question.
That was a
too.
Long time ago. Ask your question, Bill.
All right. So this is from Craig Osborne. Says, what new band is Phil listening to?
Awesome. Well, Craig, I want to say I love your band with your brothers, Jeffrey and Ozzy, brothers Osborne. I think you guys are great. Keep on pumping out the good music. I'm sorry, what was the question? I'm sorry.
What new band band are you listening to? Is it the Brothers Osborne?
Yeah, it is Lucifer. The new Lucifer album is fantastic. It's their third record. If you like, it's very the Sabbath influence is there. Early Boister Cult is there too. That and Uriah Heep, yeah, Lucifer 3, it's called. They're great, and I got to play with them in January on their 2-week tour of America. I got to fill in for bass guitar. So yeah, the record's fantastic. Sounds great. Great. The songs are awesome. That band is everything. The name fits the sound. The look fits the name and the sound. It's a great. It's like one of the few bands that like has the great package. It's like everything fits together. The look, sound, and name. They're great, and they're great people too. That was a fun tour.
Cool.
And it just came out a couple days ago, so you can mail order it from their website, Facebook page. So just came out, brand new release.
Well, I have a question
for
you.
So when you did that tour with them, can you hear me? I guess I'm out.
Yes, yes, I can hear you. We can hear you.
Did you go to the Jeff Tate show at the Exit Inn?
I did not.
You missed a good show, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, me and Brian Harris and David Cathy all went. Courtesy of Brian, thank you, by the way.
That was towards the end of public gatherings.
Mm-hmm. That was the end of public gatherings.
That was the day before our show was scheduled. That was Friday, right? And then our show was on Saturday, and we had to nix our show. Yeah. That was the end of public.
Yeah. No more.
Gotcha.
That was it.
Go ahead, Dennis. Did you have a question? Did you have something?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I thought I was out. So when you went on, when you did that tour with Lucifer, was that something that, was it an issue with a band member again filling in, or is it something you'll do some more with touring wise?
Probably not anymore. They had a bass player that, had, just left the group, for some medical stuff. After they'd already got the visas and everything worked out. So they didn't have the time to get another visa for another European player. So they had to get an American. And I was the first they thought of, because I met him on the Kiss cruise and we hung out, because I went and saw the band because I'd been a fan of Nike, who was the drummer. He is the main guy in the Helicopters, the main writer, singer, guitar player in the Helicopters. I've loved them for 20 years. So Nicky was kind of a musical hero of mine. So I went to see them because he was in it, and then fell in love with the band. It's like, this is right up. I mean, it's right up my alley. It's like, I like everything about it. The songs, the look, everything I liked. So I talked to him afterwards. We became friends, with the band and after that. And I was actually in Stockholm when I got a message from Johanna, the singer, asking me if I was available in January for the tour. And I said, yeah, I'm actually in your town. So but I ran into him that night. We were going to two different shows. I went to see Y&T there with some friends, and they were going to a death metal show. They're going to see Dismember, and the venues were right next to each other pretty much. So when my friend Ita and I were leaving Y&T, we ran to the corner, and there's Nick A and Johanna. And I was like, well, hey, guys, how are you? So we stopped and chatted and got the tour there. So, yeah. Just so filling
basically
in,
in the right place, right time, the right country.
Yeah, exactly. Totally talking. Met him on the Kiss cruise. Had remained in contact with them. Loved the band anyway. Had already knew the albums and knew the music, so it wasn't a big deal of, you know, getting the songs together. It was great. I was happy to do it. And I actually, so you know, the shirt that I wear with Ace, the denim shirt with the white fringe. So I know everybody thinks it's Ozzy, but I got the idea for that shirt from their bass player that I saw on the Kiss cruise. Alex is a great guy. And I met him and I saw him play, and I told him, I said, I'm going to steal your shirt. The idea that I'm going to have one made. And he goes, go ahead. Awesome. Do it. So I had the shirt made. And then when I got the Lucifer gig, the temporary gig, I thought, well, I already got the shirt. I have to wear it now in honor of Alex. So I wore it every single night. And by the end of 2 weeks, the shirt could play the set by itself. So
the shirt could probably stand up by itself.
It could stand up and play the bass better than me. Because there's a trick that you can do. You can spray if you can't, because it's got leather, it's got suede fringe on it, right? You can't wash it. So if you spray it with vodka, it takes the odor out. Well, that doesn't work for a guy after 2 weeks that sweats like me. So yeah, it's still waiting to be taken to the leather cleaner. I can wait for a little bit, but yeah, that was.
You do sweat a lot. I mean, I
am the sweatiest guy on stage, regardless of temperature or who I'm on stage with.
No.
By song two, I'm dripping. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know if I work harder, if my body temperature is just higher, but I mean, like, I sweat so fucking much, always. Sleeveless,
my wife will put me up against you, because I can come out of a shower, and 2 minutes later, I'm sweating. I mean, seriously, I just sweat. I always tell her, like, that guy sweat. And
it's terrible. I look over and Jeremy's still perfectly coiffed and feathered, and I'm just like, "Hi, buddy! Oh goodness, what's his name or her name?"
Hey, Alan,
her name is Hannah.
Hannah, is that a Bichon?
It's a Bichon. That's correct. Yep. You're one of the few people who's got that correct. Everybody's like, "What kind of poodle is that?" It's not a fucking
because.
Poodle.
Because Hannah has the same haircut that my Bichon Jake used to have.
So, well, I have three Bichons.
Oh, my God. So do you ever – they can never be house trained, right?
Oh, those are the greatest dogs ever.
Jake pissed in his cage. Jake would pee everywhere.
Well, Bo will pee anywhere if we let him.
He hated it.
We have
he was the worst.
We have two female Bichons, one male Bichon, and when my dad passed away, I inherited a Puggle. So I have four dogs now.
Oh.
Yeah.
So do the girl between the girl and boy Bichons, is the boy way worse about peeing places?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just a male thing.
Well, and you know, he actually didn't start.
Oh my God.
He didn't start behaving that way until the Puggle moved in. Yeah.
Really?
But the littlest Bichon, which was the first one here, she's the boss and everybody knows it.
Sure, of course. Oh, that's great. Hi, Hannah. Hi, buddy.
Yeah.
He needs to buy a mutt shirt.
Hannah is my baby. Speaking of mutt shirt, I was going to ask you about your mutt merch.
I think you need some mutt merch. Absolutely. So if anybody hasn't watched before, I've got a clothing line called Mutt Merch that is a dog and music themed. And we have all kinds of great shirts like Aerosniff, Muttley Chew, Sergeant Pupper's Lonely Mutt's Pup Band, Black Labbath, Notorious P.I.T., Neuterhead, all kinds of things. Shirts for humans and dogs, so you can match. So I'm kind of taking this downtime. I feel I don't really want to put a lot of for sale things out, because everybody's kind of feeling, you know, and the world is shut down. So I'm kind of using this time to prepare for when we're not shut down. We have a website, muntmerch.com, if anyone wants to check it out, and on Facebook and all the things. But I want to get an Amazon store. We're on Etsy. I want to get an eBay store as well. And we're also kind of brainstorming for some new products, maybe some patches, some stickers, some smaller, you know, smaller dollar items. So we're still working, still slugging along and trying to make this thing happen. Keeping, you know, positive as best we can. So, have a shout out to Nene, Janae Townsend, who's my helper in that. She helps me with social media and the website, and she's invaluable. I could not have done any of this newer website stuff without her. She's great. She's the best. She's the bee's knees. So thanks, Janae. Here's hopefully that when we all get out of this, we can get back to our normal selling of ourselves. I just feel weird about doing all that stuff now, you know. It's just like everybody's in the whole world is in the same boat. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. It's like this is like the leveler, you know. We had no idea what it was going to be, but this is like, no, you're all in the same boat.
The crazy thing is, like, you know, my dad's 70, he'd be 70, I think he's 75 now. And, you know, I remember his mom, which, you know, she passed away, about 10 years ago, but she was in her 90s. And my, you know, she would, we would sit, I remember as a kid, and she would talk about, you know, through the Depression, you know, they lived, you know, they, she lived all through that stuff. And you hear these stories about how tough it was back then. You know, they were doing this and doing that, and we had nothing. We were reusing everything. We were recycling everything. We were doing it. And like, oh, thank God we never go through some kind of thing like that and hold up in our house. And it's like, well, you know what? You know, my dad at 75 is going, you know what? I've seen a lot, but I've never seen this. He goes, I would have hoped I'd never seen something like this.
In so, a way, you know, it's we're one doing of those it. Things. Yeah. You know, we're living it. It's kind of a glamping version of that. It's like to complete hardships. We were all, I mean, our power's still on, and we're sitting here talking through technology, and you know, and all we got to do is stay home and watch TV, and we're fucking that up. Which I can't. I can't believe that people are still going to the, hey, we're going to be doing this live band stream tomorrow. It's like, oh, your musicians aren't immune to this thing. You know, we've had people asking, like, on the residency page, ask us to do, hey, how about a band stream Tuesday? Have you not been paying fucking attention? You know, we can't. Right. We're supposed to stay home. Like, we're nobody can even fucking watch Netflix. I mean. How easy can it be? Everybody's under a lot of stress with bills, and I am too. And I'm no different than anybody else. And we're all having these kind of problems, kind of sinking in, going, how long are we going to be shut down? But for the time being, I think we're going to get help. People are going to give some forgiveness with some bills, hopefully. But all we got to do in the meantime, stay the fuck home and watch TV or get on social media and don't go get your necessities, come home.
And
don't,
wash your goddamn hands.
Wash your goddamn hands. And we can't do it. People can't they're fucking up watching TV. I we're so dumb. It amazes me that people are still announcing, hey, going live from this place tomorrow with these people. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? just do what you're supposed to do. You're not immune. God.
Well,
sorry.
And then you got these jackass fucking college students going, you know what? I waited all year for my spring break, and you know we're gonna go to the beach. Fuck, you know we're all, but you know what? The motherfucker's gonna go home and be with their parents and their grandparents, and they're gonna end up killing somebody. Grow the fuck up.
I know. It is. Everybody's so self-centered. Nobody, I mean, I hate to say this, you know, about a generation, but it seems like they're just way more self-centered. And it's like, no, it isn't about you. I mean, even now they're saying, well, if you're young, you know, you might not get over it. Because I know it, I think at Vandy here in Nashville, there's some younger cases coming in that are pretty serious.
I saw recently.
Yeah, teenagers, younger people are coming in and doing that, and like it's getting serious, and it isn't just like, well, you're going to give it to your grandparents, they're going to get sick. It's like they're easier to get really ill from it, but now younger folks are too. It's kind of, I don't know if we're looking at a mutated thing. Who knows? Who the fuck knows? And all you got to do is stay home.
Well,
just stay home.
My friend Jamie Carlson just posted a comment that said wine and music is the answer.
So, cheers.
Jamie has spoken the gospel. Everyone pay attention.
The finest, only the finest card Bordeaux. The finest
card Bordeaux of all.
I've been cooking in, I've been getting out to get groceries. I've been having local restaurants delivered, like Uber Eats and Grubhub have cut the delivery fees for local restaurants. So it's a good time now to try some new things. Tomorrow, I'm going to get some things from Wine Down Nashville. They're doing wine service also. Now in Nashville, the liquor stores can deliver. You can get like, you can go pick up and they can deliver. Kind of,
Damn. Yeah, we're
moving to Nashville.
And so... So, yeah, so there's a lot of places that are really doing what they can to help out. And And I'm trying to save some frozen food for, you know, if this shit really hits the fan.
Right.
I don't know. Who knows? Well, so I'm kind of getting some things. It's a good time to try out some new local restaurants, and they're really making it easy. There's some of them are staying open for pickup too, for curbside pickup, where you just kind of like get it taken to you, so you don't go inside. And then they're also Uber Eats and Grubhub and DoorDash are all doing leaving it at your door. The contactless delivery, like dropping it off and leaving. So,
well, I think I'm going to start my own food delivery service. I'm going to call it the Food Dude.
Nice. Nice.
I took some food to my mother-in-law the other night, and when she come out to the car to pick it up, I was like, Food Dude delivery at your door.
Yeah. And in Portland, Portland, Oregon, I don't know which one, sorry. But there's some out-of-work strippers delivering food with Boober Eats.
I saw that.
And then I saw a meme where you
good
could
job,
get,
ladies. Good job, ladies. I love
I
it.
I saw a meme where you could order a Hooters girl in the trunk. She was delivering too.
I mean, sorry, so Hooters anyway, wings. Hooters wings are amazing. I'm sorry, they're the best. I love Hooters wings.
They are the best.
So much.
So we had a place here. My wife ordered a bunch of food from tonight, and I won't mention the place. But so I called them this morning. They had curbside service, what have you. So I called this morning, paid through my credit card. And the first thing the girl did when she picked up the phone, she's coughing. And I'm like going, oh. So I got the food. And the girl came out, gave me my food to the car. So I got home. I shit you not. Now, my wife is a healthcare worker, so we know how to do shit around here. I brought that shit in the garage, and I took a Clorox wipes, and I wiped every container down the best I could and threw the bag away. And then the gloves that I had on, I threw them in the We live like that now. I mean, we have to live like that. I mean,
yeah, it's
being
it's wild.
With a health worker, I know. You know,
exactly. Crazy. And any time you go to the grocery store, it's like, I'm not wearing the mask, but every time I go to the keypad, I was like, I forgot my gloves. Shit. And the gas pumps, I mean, it's all a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've been in the grocery store a couple of times. You see people with their mask, and their mask is down over their mouth.
But they're
absolutely
not
helping you. This is a total respiratory droplet issue here, people.
Yeah, totally.
Wearing the mask over your mouth and your chin. Not helping you at all.
Like a goatee or something.
It's totally not.
The worst thing you can do is be behind somebody with a mask because whenever they cough, it blows out the back. The guy in front of me, the last time I was at my grocery store, is this old guy, and he's just constantly coughing and doing it. And this girl who's a checkout lady, I know her. The dude left, and she looked at me, and she got out the bottle of stuff, and I'm like going, thank you so much, and I'm just rubbing myself.
Yeah.
She's like going, we need to rub down hard. She's with me.
She offered to do what?
Let's just take a bath. We're gonna go.
Can you get my back, please?
You missed a spot.
Hey,
a little lower. A little lower.
Hey, fellas.
Suntan lotion with sanitizer.
Yep. Hey, fellas, Jamie told us to stay away from the strippers. And she called us gentlemen, so I told her she had us confused with someone else.
They're in Portland, so we really can't.
I don't think they're not doing. We don't have a Hooters here, so I don't have to worry about that or a strip club. So we're good here in Columbus,
so
Indiana.
Taking, for now, for like dollar bills or anything, can you do like toilet paper rolls for dollar for lap dances?
I think you just use like an AMT slip, an ATM slip or something. I think
I saw a meme about this very thing, and I forgot what it was, but somebody had already figured that out.
Yep.
It came pretty early on in this whole thing, and I was one of the first ones I saw. I was like, that's pretty clever.
All right, can you guys see this? So you probably can't see this. David Cathy cow strip dancing on a pole.
What is
that's hilarious.
It's a cow dancing on a pole.
Oh.
Why there is the cow you go. That's sexy. Like that's 7. Yeah. That's just disgusting. That's throw up now.
Oh, Lord. I think that we've derailed something.
We're always derailing it. We always derail on this show.
I know.
So I do have a question for you, though. Is there anybody that you haven't played with yet that you really really want to play with it, if that's the person that you would drop everything and just run off and go for.
Oh, for what, gig wise?
Yeah, gig wise.
I mean, it's lofty, but McCartney. I mean, that would just be like the. That's kind of the penultimate for higher gig anyway. Is if you play for McCartney, it's just amazing. As far as residency guests that I really wanted to have, I can think of a few. Steven Tyler. We never got Tyler when he was in town. I would have loved to have Steven. Billy Gibbons was in town a lot. I never quite got him. And we got the rest of Black Star Riders, but we never got Scott Gorham. And Scott's one of my favorites of all time. And so it would have been cool to play with Scott. All the people that had came through there and all the gigs I've had, it's like those three guys are kind of, realistically speaking, the ones that we could have had. Those three guys, I think, would be it. But yeah, McCartney, cool. Gig-wise, McCartney, and I really can't think of anything else. Anybody else? Like, I've got pretty cool gigs as it stands. So you know.
Well, thing is, I mean, the guys you play with, they're all cool guys people in Nashville, that group that you're associated with, and all those great musicians. I mean, they have you played with. You know, if you do six things of separation, Kevin Bacon, you guys have played with just about.
Now I'm 1 degree from Kevin Bacon because my friend Tim Tucker
that
played with us. One of his original songs was in the new Kevin Bacon TV series.
One degree
away from Kevin Bacon.
Wow, man.
You're one degree. Well, but what I'm saying is, though, you guys have all, I mean, at one time or another, you motherfuckers have played with everybody.
When we started the thing, we had a pretty good network, right? Pretty good network. Now that spider web has just continued to grow, and we have, like, so many more things. It's cool, like, who all we have connections to, not just to get stuff, but like friends and people now that we have invited to come out and play at the show, or did invite with to play with at the residency, that have become friends and become like, you know, multiple time guests with us. It's just about, being cool, being fun. And we represented something that a lot of folk that like everybody loved and everybody wanted to do, because it wasn't like coming to show off. It wasn't like, a circle jerk, you know. It was just like, it wasn't a bunch of guys, just like, it was more of a hang. It was like everybody just hanging out, listening to good music. And then once it kind of like became its own thing and just kept growing and wouldn't stop regardless of what we did, that's when the community took over. And that's the thing I love the most about that, is the friends I've made and the connections that I see in the scene that came from the residency, like from that. Other folks are doing things like that now, but I just see all these business connections, friend connections, love connections, two and two, come from the residency, you know? And I don't know, I'm more proud of that than like any of the people that I played with. And, you know, it's just fun to see that on like local thing and on a local level, and see your friend network grow, and just goodness grow, and good people meeting good people. And I was very proud to be a part of that and a catalyst for all that stuff.
Very cool.
If that answered any kind of question, I kind of
what was the question? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Tommy Starr posted a comment, said Scott's the best.
Hey, Tommy. Scott does rule. Hey, Tommy. Saw him a few weeks ago when we could all still gather together.
Don't gather together now. Just wash your hands.
Exactly. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Drink your wine and shut the hell up.
Exactly. Listen to music.
So we had a guest on the other night, well, last night, actually, that'll be coming out, and he's in a 80s tribute band, and I went to the last show they were able to do before the big shutdown, and it was amazing how many, you know, people always try to give them their phones so he can take a picture of them and the, you know, from the crowd or whatever. And it's kind of a thing that they do. And it's a club kind of gig or whatever. And finally, to stop the show, he goes, "I am not touching your effing phones. I'm not doing it. Quit asking me. Don't look at me anymore. Don't put them in the air. I'm not shaking your hands. I'm not hugging you." He's like, "I'm telling you, wash your damn hands."
Yeah, I've become Gene Simmons. Gene was a fist bump guy, so now it's like that was what he always did. Never shook hands.
Yeah, we didn't know how cool he really was, did we?
That was
with the fist bump thing,
right?
He was a pioneer,
ahead of his time.
Yeah, he probably should trademark that.
You're right. Oh my god, I'm sure you guys saw it too. Somebody made a meme. And I'm assuming they're not real, but there were four masks, and it looked like the Dynasty mouths. It's like, I hope to God those become a reality. I'm like, please, Gene, see these and find somebody to put the money up and get them made. And I'm surprised that the Kiss masks haven't come out yet. I'd buy them.
Yeah, well, I probably would too. I keep acquiring more shit.
Hey, I know we're all big Kiss fans and the big Kiss logo behind you, Bill. I want to say hello to Julian Gill and wish him the best recovery. Julian is kind of the Kiss author, in my opinion. His books are the best and most detailed of any that I've read. And just, we love you, Julian. We hope you to get well soon. And so best wishes.
Yeah, for sure. Get well soon, Julian.
Right on. Hey, Tommy just also posted a comment that said, "I've seen Philip many times, talented and exceptionally nice. First saw him doing one of the Kiss Christmas shows at Exit Inn."
Nice.
Which the three of us have been to one of those shows. And, man, that shit is funny.
And you guys made a great compilation video that I like. If somebody wants to know what it's about, I point them to your... The one that you guys made.
I'll have to go back on our YouTube channel and find that and repost it. That's definitely worth sharing.
Yeah,
it's really cool. Yeah, that was a good. You guys came. What year did you guys come to that one? It wasn't the last one.
It was the last one.
Because that's the one where you were on stage and you said you had to email Gene Simmons to make sure it was okay for the show to go on.
Yeah. So we emailed Gene, just made sure it was cool because. We didn't make a living doing it. We did it once a year for charity, but I've seen him give some grief to some guys that were in like working bands. And trust me to say this, it's weird. When we got close, it was like, okay, we better check. And he was great. He said, of course. I sent him a link. I was like, we don't suck. You know, so here's a link of us doing a couple of tunes. And he said, absolutely. He's like, hey, thank you for the courtesy of asking and have a great show. So he was great. And then we did that one. And then before we did the next one, a couple of things happened. We already had it booked before we got the Ace gig. And then we got the Ace gig. So now we're looking at Ace and Gene. We're not under the radar anymore. We're not just four Kiss fans. We're as a on radar as possible. And also, I think we had a date conflict too. We went and did the New Jersey expo with Ace, where we played the solo record. But even before that, it just felt really weird to do it when we're like kind of in like that. And it's weird to say it too, but to do the show, especially me, my role in the whole thing, I was like, I really don't want to go up and do that anymore. You know, I was like, A, pretty out of shape. And B, it's like, I'm going to have to feel like I have to change my whole thing. And I don't know. Jeremy and I felt weird doing it. And we hated stopping to do it because it was so much fun. And it was once a year we could pull out all the stops and put the sign up and do all the thing. But it just felt real weird. I don't know. It feels weird. It was different. We were like just four fans that nobody knew, you know, that was a fun show. And then it all of a sudden went weird, you know.
It was cool for us because we had never seen the Resident Evil. We'd never seen you guys play. And through Christopher Williams, you know, he was the one that told us, he said, "Hey, come down and check this out in this Kiss show." So we had bought our tickets early and did all this. So we came down, never seeing the residency. We had never seen you guys play or anything. And I got to tell you, when you came out here, we were just fucking, and Bill couldn't go. So we're texting Bill and sending these fucking videos. They're going, dude, you're missing it. It's a bitch.
The set list were great. We purposely played stuff they never would. You know, we did Acrobat for crying out loud. You know, we did all that kind of thing. And the year that we had booked that we canceled, I felt so bad because Christopher had bought each of us an actual real Kiss makeup kit. Like the ones that, not the Kiss ones, but ones that actually they used. I forgot what brand it was, but Christopher found, because Christopher is the most detailed guy in the world with anything. When you get him on a gig, he's going to do the best job imaginable. And so he found the real legit 70s makeup cases that Kiss used. And he put the makeup that we each needed in there. He already got them. It was like, yeah, man, we're not going to do it. And it was just like, well, I got you guys makeup cases. It was like, oh, my God. I still feel so bad about that. It's like, I love that case. It's so great. I've got the case out. And it's one of the coolest gifts, like Kiss things that I have, is because Christopher got them, and it felt so bad about that. But it turned out we had a date conflict as well. But it was a really sweet thing he did for all of us, and I'll keep that thing forever, man. I'm never even using the makeup. I'm going to keep it as he gave it to me. That was a super nice thing. That's what kind of guy that he is.
That's cool.
Yeah, Al and I went down there, and like I said, it was kind of a really cool night for us because we showed up a little bit early. We met Chris and him over there at a bar across the street, and we're sitting there talking, and John Corabee walks in, and I'm like, it's kind of with me, it's like, I'm not used to that. I'm not a Nashvilleian, so I don't, you know. John Corabee, you know, it's like,
what? Oh, was it Gold Rush, the Gold Rush.
Correct.
You're at the Gold Rush. That's right. Yeah.
Chris and Zach, and we were all over there. And then we walk across the street, and then, of course, Lizzie came in, and we met her, and she took pictures with us. And it was just a really, really cool night. And my mic was actually muted a while ago. I did talk to Julian Gill today, and he is getting better, feeling better. And he says, I'm getting better. He says, I hope you're doing well also. So I called him or texted him. Awesome. And he says, I told him we're all hunkered down. My wife is, works in a hospital. We're all doing one of these. He says, they're better for everyone. Talk about the frontline workers and the horror. And he is doing better, and he's hoping to get better. So
that's awesome. So good deal. Good news. Good news from Julian. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Hell yeah.
And we love you. So get better.
Hey.
All right.
Yeah, I think my parents came to that night too. My parents came to the Kissmas show that night.
I remember that.
Actually, I think we met we saw your parents once too, and that was in Nashville when you play with Ace at the Marathon Music Center. Yeah,
dinner. Ate at?
Oh yeah,
was it Hawkins or
Clyde's?
Oh, machine.
High five, Clyde.
That's right.
Yes,
that's what it was.
Oh yeah,
yep,
yes.
That's right.
You came in, said hi.
The pinball machine.
Your wife.
Yep.
Yeah. That was awesome. I think your parents are with you
came
too.
With your wife.
Yep. We all went. Yeah, because we were looking for a place around there, and then we walked out there, and there was nobody in there. It was awesome. So it was great. So we had. Yeah, that's right.
Had my son with me at the time, and you come by and sat down and said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" It was like, he's like, "Who is that guy?" I said, "Ah, you'll see him later." So when you walked out, he's like, "Holy shit,
that's cool." All right, man. Some Yahoo,
just some dude,
local
some long hair wanted to be.
Yeah, high five Clyde's. That was a good place. That was fun.
Yeah, the food was good. It was neat. It was cool.
Yeah, that's a nice place.
Marathon music place is cool. I like that. I'd go to another show.
Marathon's cool too. I've seen Robin Trower there. I've seen Anthrax there. Trying to think of anybody else I've seen there. Yeah, I've seen some good shows come through there. It's a good size. You know, that kind of a club where you can still see some pretty good good acts in there. Yeah.
The line of the tornado, did it get to the marathon, or was it north of the marathon and went across? I don't think
marathon. No, it didn't, because I was just over there because I went and got some stuff from Orange. So no, marathon is totally, it was unscathed. So
but it got like what, Top Golf, and then across that way, right? And
yeah, then over yeah, to it did get that. Side. It was more East Nashville, and then I'm in Hendersonville, so it went south of me, but it still it kind of went along I-40, and it went to Mount Juliet.
Gotcha.
Kind of went right along the interstate, kind of. So,
because at first when they talked about that line, I was like, "Well, that's kind of in that kind of marathon's kind of in that line."
I just went over there right last week when we could still kind of go around and do things. There was no damage, and yeah, Nashville got kind of a double whammy. It was kind of a dark mood around here. Was that we had a few days of cleanup, and then it was go home. You know, it was nobody get out. No shows can happen. You know, I don't think any big benefit show happened. The Long Players had to postpone theirs. We had to cancel ours. Rare Hair had to cancel. So, yeah, it was like the rug kind of got pulled out. Like, we can't even do anything. And folks are without roofs. It's been raining nonstop here for almost every day. You know, and it's just, you know, it's a kind of a double whammy. It's kind of a dark mood. And then this happened, and the entire music community is going, I don't know what we're going to do. Our entire touring season is gone. I mean, it's like me, not only musicians, but lighting companies, sound companies. Everybody's feeling the effects of this thing. You know, management companies, promotion companies. It's done. You know, so it's kind of,
you think about concession people, everybody that works any of the venues, your security, concessions, ticket people. I mean, it's just not the bands themselves. It's everybody. I mean, it's taken a hit. I mean, a major.
Yeah. You know, and to be honest, we were talking about healthcare workers too. It's taken a hit on healthcare workers too, because I work in a hospital too. And, you know, we're not seeing the patients we saw. So we have, you know, had to cut staffing because we don't need the same amount of people. We're not seeing the same numbers. You know, the only people coming into hospitals now are people that are pretty sick. So you're not treating them the way you were. You're not getting those outpatients that are just walking in and stuff like that. So you're treating a different level of people. So we're into that. You know, we have a labor pool and stuff like that. And it even affects healthcare. People think, I think that healthcare people are just busier than hell. And trust me, we're busier than hell.
But sure. You're also downside.
There's a segment of those people that are really, you know, struggling a little bit, trying to make sure they can make ends meet, because, you know, you don't need as much of a facility as you normally do, because you're trying to contain things. So it's even a challenge there.
So can you still Joe Blow get an appointment for something else at this point, or is it pretty much been like, nope, if you're
it go it away, depends no. It depends, because, you know,
not life threatening emergency, obviously, but something, you know.
Well, actually, I was on a call before we got on here earlier today, or in a few minutes before this, and we were talking about a couple different things, and you know, there are patients that don't need emergent care, but they've still been to their doctor and they still need a diagnosis, so they still need to have care. So you have that segment of people that you still have to manage and you still have to provide care for them, and you have the other people that are just, they're just sick. And now, okay, you got to figure out, now, do they have the virus? And if they do, where do they go? And how do you manage all that? But, you know, it's just a lot of moving parts. And the challenge, and I don't think people realize this either, is the CDC does a great job of managing stuff, but things change on a daily basis. I mean, I have a meeting and we'll talk about, we're going to start doing this, that, and the other. And then 3 hours later, the CDC's changed it. And they come back a couple hours later and go, okay, what we just told you was sort of true, but now we're going to add this and this. And it gets, you know, it gets really, you know, kind of out of sorts, because you get very used to being in a rote situation where it's going to be this way every time. And all of a sudden it's not that way. So, you know, I think, you know, healthcare workers too. I mean, it is a challenge. I mean, I wouldn't want to be riding on an ambulance right now and getting a call, going to somebody's house, because you don't know. I mean,
you don't know what you're walking into.
Yeah, they all have, you know, they used to send two or three guys in, and now you hear that, you know, they send one guy in, because you're not going to send two or three guys in, because you can't. because you don't know what you're walking into. So, you know, it's just a challenge for a lot of different people. But, you know, I think that it's funny. I got a meme today. I was very frustrated earlier about some stuff, and a buddy of mine sent me a meme. It says, keep calm and listen to Kiss. So, okay. Yeah. Perfect timing. Thanks, buddy.
I think, like, you know, that in the healthcare is one thing, and I haven't seen a lot of about this, but I think it's going to, especially if this lockdown thing continues, the mental health care is going to be a big deal too. Because I mean, honestly, I haven't been doing that fucking great a lot of days, and I'm just worried about folks that are prone to depression, being locked away if they are alone, or worse, with their wife and kids. Hey-oh, sorry. no, it's like if they are alone and can't get out. I'm hoping it isn't like a suicide outbreak. I hate to be pessimistic or you know, bummer sounding, but it's totally a thing. You know, that could really be a thing. It's like, I'm just worried about that. Cause like I said, I haven't been doing the best, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that has been like that. And I'm just worried about this forced confinement on some people, rise of alcoholism, after this whole thing. You know, hopefully people are finding help they need with their meetings, and if they're still, I think they're still having some online meetings and things. So that's going to be a deal. At just a lot of things that I haven't seen a whole lot of posts about, you know.
They're going to kind of too. No, I was just saying, like, even with kids, you know, went to school, you know, trying to get away from an abusive family, and that school was their only outlet, you know.
And now they're stuck
with these families, you know.
Yeah, or it was the only place they had lunch, you know, or something. It's like, what are they going to do? Now they're home, and
you know,
so many things that were not that, like, so that aren't on the surface are going to come, are going to bubble up, I think, as this goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows how long we're going to be here.
And Dennis, you brought up
about
abuse or whatever you said. My friend Jamie just commented that domestic violence is a big concern, and yes, suicide rates will rise. So, you know, that's kind of something that's been on the back of my mind as well, because
I'm
not going to mention any names, but I do know somebody that is an extremely abusive person. You know, and they're abusive to everyone, not just people in their homes. So, you know, if this person treats me the way they treat me in public, I can imagine how they treat their family at home when there's no one there to witness.
Yeah, that's all scary shit. And it's like, you know, that's going on all over the world. And so with that kind of worldwide, you know, epidemic, and everybody's in the same boat, and it's like, I hate to say it, but it's very, very, very real that, you know, we're probably going to see a huge increase in suicides and alcoholism. So,
watch out for each other. Got to be friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. Be nice.
We're all the same.
Give everybody a break.
We really are.
We are all riding on the same ship through the universe.
Yes, we are.
Exactly.
Maybe for the first time ever in our lifetime.
Maybe.
We really are.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know,
this is a test. I mean, this is a test to see how, you know what, our elder generation being able to handle these world depressions and all this stuff. You know, now it's our time to shine. You know, we need to be the ones to step up and say, you know what, we can handle this shit. We'll fucking get through this.
It is time to put the us in virus.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go.
That's gonna
catch on, isn't it?
That is great.
Come on, catch on. Trademarked right here.
I want a t-shirt right now.
Let's put the us and virus. Phil Schaus.
And that is probably a good place to end this little live broadcast for tonight. I don't know about you guys, but I've got a hungry dog. I have to feed my dog food certain times a day.
Four hungry dogs.
Well, so there's one dog that has to be fed special because she has to take different medicines because she has epilepsy. She was over here telling me, hey, dude, you're past time. Come on.
It is time to feed Hannah.
It is time to feed Miss Hannah. But yes, yes, like Phil said, y'all, we put the us in virus. Wash your hands. Do your social distancing. Shelter in place. Whatever your governor is telling you to do, do it.
Yep, exactly.
Because now I saw a meme that this kind of reminds me of. Do you feel like you're that kid in kindergarten that just about every time you're getting ready to go out to recess, somebody does something and it extends it longer?
Exactly. Exactly.
One more question.
Bill's got another question.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm hungry. We'll play.
This downstairs.
Oh, that's great.
All right, hang around. Muttmer.
You're muted, dude.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. No. Alan's just talking away, man.
Well, shit, I was muted again. Well, the dog's got to hear what I was saying.
He does it so well too. He's just like, I don't even know he does it to even warn him. It's like,
yep,
like this.
Well, thanks for your time, man. Yeah, appreciate it a lot.
And y'all,
anytime, guys. Always a good time. Thank you guys very much.
Check out Mutt
and bless
Merch.
All y'all and check it out and stay safe and smart and hope to see you guys soon.
That's right. Peace out, folks.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.